Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the beat, and the beat was the rhythm of God, and the rhythm of God is the harmony of humanity, and where there is harmony, there is peace.
Subject this evening, a lifestyle of liberation or oppression. Do we have a choice? Stay with us as we explore this exciting subject.
The rhythm plants the seeds of freedom, so we overcome with the rhythm. The drum beats.
Good evening once again, and thank you for being with us this evening. Yes, we are the drum. We are the drum calling our people to self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. Again, welcome to Dare to Win. This is the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday from 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Dare to Win is the place where we have sobering conversations about the economic plight of our people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and contribute to our wholeness. To join the conversation this evening, you can dial 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your keypad if you want to make a comment or ask a question. And if you want to join us using your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com. That's www.usliftingus.com. And click the Ulu Radio tab. Then click on Listen Live. My name is Sister Nanana, and I am very pleased, as always, to be the one to help guide through this discussion this evening and to act as host for this evening's discussion. And joining us this evening, we have Brother Thurman, who is a member of the Us Lifting Us Board of Directors, who's going to be assisting us as we explore this very timely topic, a lifestyle of liberation or oppression. Do we have a choice? Would you like to say hello to the listening audience, Brother Thurman, and welcome them?
Yes, greetings, family, and thank you so much for joining us in this conversation, and thank you, Sister Nanana, as always, and look forward to everybody's input and so that we can have greater clarity on this subject area.
Wonderful, wonderful, yes, and with everything that's going on globally in the world and with the pandemic being at the very top of the news agenda in most situations and most cases, I do think that it's important for us to stay focused on those things that are important, and certainly we need to be taking a look at what we should do to protect ourselves in these very troubling and trying times that we're going through. But also, we must always remember that we're on a battlefield. Undoubtedly, we are on a battlefield, and the subject around liberation or oppression, do we have a choice, is one that certainly, in my opinion, warrants our discussion this evening. So let's get right into talking about that subject. Once again, a lifestyle of liberation or oppression. Do we have a choice? So, Brother Thurman, would you please help us get started with talking about this subject, perhaps in setting the context around this? It would be helpful to have some definitions around liberation, oppression, and what do we mean by lifestyle, a lifestyle of liberation or oppression? So can you help get us started with some basic information around that terminology? Thank you.
Yes. And you mentioned the word lifestyle. A lifestyle is something that most people choose. Sometimes there's lifestyle that there's no other choice. But we're certainly at a time now that a lot of people are choosing their lifestyle, whatever it might be. And if you use food, for example, there are people that are, so everybody knows there's a variety of lifestyles that people choose with regard to the subject of food. And so I think the emphasis when I'm using the word lifestyle is that we've got choices. And so when it comes to liberation or oppression, we've got some input on that. Not to say that all of it would be just an easy task, but we do have some input on it. So just for example, I'll give a definition of oppression. It's the cruel use of force and manipulation to limit the natural right to live free mind and body, as well as for your community to be free. And that's speaking about oppression. Now, when it comes to liberation, to give some short definition, the act of achieving and maintaining freedom in all areas, including your thoughts, your behavior, your family, your education, economics, politics, and our own military. Those are things that would be included in necessity for our liberation. Mm-hmm. And just to sum up the two of those, oppression versus the liberation, if we're not choosing and focusing our energies on that definition of liberation, that would be including our thoughts, our behavior, our family, our education, economics, politics, and our own military, by default, some people would say, we are participating in on the side of oppression.
Well, that's interesting to put it into that perspective, that it sounds like, you know, if you're not part of the solution, then you're definitely part of the problem. As far as the piece around liberation that you're talking about. And I think it's also very mind-opening and thought-provoking when you gave the definition of liberation to think in terms of a military force that we as a nation of people, as a race or ethnic group of people, that we should have a military force. And that's something I think that we rarely think in terms of. But I can see that that would be important because liberation or freedom is not something that's given to you. It's something that you have to take, in my opinion, and that you have to fight to maintain on many fronts. And you did mention the economic, the political, educational. So, you know, warfare can take many forms, definitely. And what struck me in that definition of oppression, the cruel, you specifically said the cruel use of force and manipulation to limit the natural right to live free, mind and body. So that really gives pause for lots of thought. Oppression cannot be done in any other way other than in a manner that could be described as cruelty. And I think that's what I hear you saying. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And although I do think that sometimes it gets cloaked, especially in the modern culture that we live in, and we don't see the cruelty of it, until after the fact. So I think it's important to put emphasis around that cruelty, and that we do have a choice. I think I clearly hear you saying that this is something that we can choose and then work towards achieving. So I hope I'm on the right track with what you're sharing this evening.
Yes, you are. And when you focused on for a minute about cruelty, it reminded me that in the society that we're living in now, with so many things and so-called conveniences, one of our ancestors, I believe it was a sister, I just can't recall who it was, but she said in so many words that we can be socialized in a way that they're inflicting pain and cruelty on us, and the oppressor would think, based on us not acting as if it was painful, that we liked it. So therefore, it was okay for them to continue to do it. We were okay with it.
Or if not necessarily that we liked it, but that we were willing to accept it. That might be another way of looking at it as well. And Brother Thurman, I just want to let you know that we do have a caller that has a question. We're, you know, just getting into the very beginning and the opening of the subject here, laying some groundwork. But let's go ahead and take the question, if you don't mind, and see what this caller. What comment this caller has or what question they would like to ask. Okay. And this is caller 3176, 3176. Please tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Greetings, Sister Nanana and Brother Thurman. This is Brother Kimbizi calling from Atlanta. Good to hear you this
evening.
All
right. It's always good to hear your voice, Brother Kimbizi. Thank you for being with us this evening.
Enjoying the conversation. And I wanted just to respond quickly, Brother Thurman, to your definition where you talked about oppression being cruel. And I was just thinking about the spectacle of voters in Wisconsin being made to come out in a pandemic and wait in lines 2 to 3 to 4 hours to vote simply because the far right wing forces that have captured so many state legislatures and even the federal government are using this as a way of voter suppression. So it just shows that there's no length to that those who are in power will go to maintain their control, even to inflicting pain, causing unnecessary death. So it's a mindset that we seem to be up against. And I'm looking forward to your discussion of the lifestyle that will lead to our victory.
All right. Well, thank you for that comment. Yes, and your response, Brother Thurman?
Yes, I'm in agreement about the cruelty in my mind on a regular basis. I call it continuing cruelty. And since the chaos that's coming forth centered around this virus and the shutdowns, I have on occasion been places or I saw it somewhere else, and I just was looking at this society and in particular the oppressors of this society, and just seeing how they're just openly doing so many things, including what Brother Kimbizi talked about. And still I'm inclined to believe, as I have for a long time, that a lot of our folks are so distracted in different ways that we're not fully comprehending just how cruel and painful it is. And so it's kind of like for years the message has been said that we're being stalked, like a predator that's stalking you, a cat kind of predator. And the cat moves quietly, and the cat will make a few steps. But if a cat thinks that you're going to be looking, it will just pause and just freeze. And eventually it's going to stalk closer and closer. And then all of a sudden, like lightning, that cat strikes. And the message has been that for years they have been stalking us with more pain, with more cruelty. And now it's coming out even more cruel and more painful in thousands of deaths of people around the world. And my opinion is that a lot of the ones in power that's watching it and grinning about it and grinning about the need for vaccinations, it doesn't offend their conscience at all.
Well, those are certainly, we have some very clear clear evidence with the situation that's occurring now with the pandemic of the institutionalized and structured racism and how we have fallen prey to it and the impact of it on our community is just undeniable at this point. So lots of not just food for thought, but hopefully fuel for action as well. So, well, let's take this a little bit deeper or to another step further. And thank you, Brother Kimbizi, for your comments. All right. Let's take this a little bit further, Brother Thurman, and the question or the subject that we're talking about is a lifestyle of liberation or oppression. Do we have a choice? And let me just ask you, you know, you've talked with us about liberation, oppression, about lifestyle. Do we have a choice? What's your thought on that? How do you see it? Give us some words around that. Do we have a choice between liberation or oppression?
Yes, my answer, you know, I feel confident that we absolutely do have a choice. And the organized system of oppression is effective, and this is just an overall answer. It's effective in making it appear that the system of oppression, that its way is normal, and the only way for us to live, and it's the only way for us to live, and unless the oppressors change their way, we're just stuck with what we've got. And that's not the way that I see it, but I'm just bringing that up. But my answer would be, yes, we do have a choice, because as some of our wise ones would say, to not resist is abnormal. And then if we look at the history of our people, including ancient people, including that led African armies successfully for decades against the European invaders, and one of them by name was Queen Nzinga. And then there were the Candaces, but they were fierce fighters that were very, very successful. And one so-called, just Queen Nzinga, and then we have Harriet Tubman. She didn't have to make all of those multiple dozens of trips out in the woods with the darkness and bugs and all of those things that's out there. And Nat Turner. And so they were in difficult situations, but they just could not in their conscience accept being subjected to the cruelty. And their spirit just said, I must participate in our liberation. And that's what they went forward to do. And that's what we must do. So yes, it's not an easy task, but it's I said a minute ago, to not resist would be abnormal. And as a group, in terms of how do we resist, that's something to be discussed. But I would emphasize that as a group, many of us are not aware, even though our ancestors were, and they were in Haiti, that as a group, if when we tap into our inner powers simultaneously, it's a very powerful way of achieving what we want, including liberation.
Mm-hmm.
And I bring that up because for the most part, we've been ignoring the inner powers that we have and how much it can accomplish, especially when we use it as a group. And it can be used in many ways, not just to wage war against the attackers, but it can be used in healing circles, and it have been successfully done that way.
Your comments around the inner power that we have, I think that's a subject that is oftentimes not even addressed, that we have literally an innateness about us and a spiritual power within each and every one of us that can and does assist in helping us to deal with the oppressive circumstances and situations that we find ourselves in. So thank you for mentioning that, because what that says to me is that we are never defenseless. We are never defenseless, but oftentimes it's a question of being aware that those powers are there and then being able to use them. So what I hear you saying is, as yes, that we do have a choice, and we need to make a conscious choice that we are choosing liberation, that we are choosing freedom, and then go about the business of achieving that. And just let me backtrack for a minute. Something that triggered as well when you were speaking, Brother Thurman, and you were talking about oppression, and that sometimes it becomes normalized for us, and we don't take the action that we should take to move towards true freedom and true liberation. We get so used to being oppressed that the oppressor then gets reinforced for continuing the oppression. The other thing that occurred to me is something that might be referred to as internalized oppression, and that's when the oppressed start using the same methods of the oppressor to oppress each other, if I'm, you know, stating that correctly. The oppressed group starts using the same methods of the oppressor. And so internalized oppression, I think, is a very specialized category and area, but one that we need to be aware of and pay attention to, because I have a judgment that we do get caught up in that whole arena of internalized oppression and position things in such a way that we make life easier for those who would oppress us, because we've gotten so trained on doing it, they no longer have to do it. They can go off and pay attention to other things, because we're going to keep oppressing each other. And that is definitely an emotional or a type of a spiritual illness. So, you know, I think we've talked quite a bit about laying some groundwork around this particular subject, and certainly let's delve a little bit deeper into it. We're going to take a short music break, and then we're going to be back and talk more about a lifestyle of liberation or oppression, and do we have a choice? So please stay with us, and we'll be back in just 2 minutes. Thank you.
Our way out of our constriction. Gonna be freaking up and down the hang up alleyway. With a groove I only got, we shall all be moved. Ready or not, here we come. Getting down on the one which we believe. Ready or not, here we come, getting down.
All right, we're back with you. I am Sister Nanana with Us Lifting Us, Economic Development Cooperative, and I'm here this evening to host Dare to Win. Dare to Win. This is the place where we have sobering conversation about the economic plight of our people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and contribute to our wholeness. Thank you so much for being with us this evening. And we have with us this evening Brother Thurman, who is a board member of Us Lifting Us, Economic Development Cooperative. And the subject that we're talking about this evening is a lifestyle of liberation or oppression. Do we have a choice? A lifestyle of liberation or oppression. Do we have a choice? So to join the conversation, please dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. And then press the number 1 on your keypad if you want to make a comment or ask a question. Now, if you prefer to join us via your computer, please go to www.usliftingus.com. That's www.usliftingus.com and click on the Ulu Radio tab. And then click where it says Listen Live, and you can join us that way. So thank you. We're very pleased to have all of you out there in our listening audience this evening. So let's get back into this discussion. So, Brother Thurman, you did help us to understand what liberation is, what oppression is, the whole concept around lifestyle, and definitely indicated that we do have a choice. We can actually choose liberation or oppression. So let's take this discussion a little bit further. Can you give us some examples when you're talking about lifestyle, Brother Thurman? Can you give us some examples of differences between a lifestyle of liberation compared to one of oppression?
Yes, thank you for the Sister Nanana. Just to start with oppression, I think that in large scale, our people are leaning in what I'm getting ready to talk about, centered around education or properly when it comes to oppression, miseducation. The miseducation system includes the school system. It teaches downright lies. It teaches self-hate. It teaches us not to like ourselves. It teaches us to want to emulate the oppressors themselves in all kinds of ways, including to be like them, to try to style ourselves like them and after them. It lowers our self-esteem. So when I say lowers our self-esteem, I make reference to Carter G. Woodson, who is the founder of what's now called Black History Month, but an educator that traveled around the world. But his book that he wrote in 1933, I believe it was, called The Miseducation of the Negro, it talks about how the public school system then and still now is set up in a way that it socializes your thinking, programs your thinking in a way that it breaks the self-esteem of Black children at an early age. And when you do that, then that automatically has them programmed, not all of them, but large numbers of the people, of the children that would be programmed to, when they reach a certain age and certain size, that they would automatically gravitate to destructive kind of behaviors or lifestyles, whether it was about getting intoxicated with whatever, and could be violence and other destructive things for the people. And also in that process, it traumatizes the children. So where what we have now, we've had for years, is a high dropout rate, and the dropout rate is not going down. And it then, when you put all of those things together, that miseducation, the low self-esteem, the dropping out of school, and the self-hate, it sets the child up to be limited when they go out in this world in terms of opportunities to even be thinking about starting a business of themselves, and opportunities when it comes to a job. So you compare that to a liberation-centered focus of education, we would be, and those of us that are real, there are more black parents than ever that are realizing that they need to homeschool their children so that they would not get caught up in the effects of miseducation. And if we cannot homeschool, then it's essential that what we do is we do, some people use the term secondary schooling, meaning that we correct the lies and the miseducation and make the children aware of that so that they will not think that that miseducation is normal, and they would really realize that the education and the re-education that we're getting to counter that madness that they taught us, that is what needs to take effect in the child's mind. And we have a control over that. And so rather than allowing the child to be nurtured with self-hate, we're nurturing them with love and pride of themselves. And pride is very important, because to this day, there's still lots of black children. And you can go to social media and find black children that have committed suicide in the last few months, and a few of them this past year, because they had been told that they were ugly. And they were lied to. And so whatever has been said about us, we have to put it to the test of evidence. But so it's just like ugly. If you put to the test the test of evidence, our genetic makeup, it's impossible that we could be the ugly ones, because scientifically, you know, it doesn't work out that way. Genetically, in the biology books, we are described as genetically dominant. So just as an example, to add to that, there's this chemical in our skin and in our internal organs also called melanin, M-E-L-A-N-I-N. But a whole bunch of the children that are suffering from the effects of the miseducation system, they don't know about melanin. And if you said, give me 60 seconds about melanin, they don't know. But there's lots of adults also don't know. And so you could fall for that dope of being inferior and so-called ugly just because you're richly pigmented. And we've got to, so on the liberation side of education, we've got to teach the right knowledge, evidence-based knowledge, and also related to business, and that ties in with us lifting us, to be educated, to go forth and take advantage of using that education to build businesses, and if you have a job, to create jobs. And in the process of us collectively creating jobs, we would be employing our people, and we would be serving our people. And that's just on education. So if we go with the subject about economics, the capitalist system is rigged against us. We must know their rules and while we're navigating through it, and then in the process to transition back into our original cooperative economics model. And we must stop willingly enriching others. And so right now we have enrich them into multi-millions and billions every year. And so the corrective action would be that we would take control, including of the economics of our community. And as the Us Lifting Us phrase says, we either take control of the economics of our community or forever be at the mercy of others. And that's not acceptable. No sane African mind would want to forever be at the mercy of others. We got to put a stop to that. So we've got the opportunity together with the cooperative economic model to build huge economic empire worldwide, that would include the necessary and powerful security sources and forces to assure the safety of our holdings. We build these empires, these institutions, businesses, but we've got to ensure the safety. So we got to have the security. And we've got to, on the liberation side, we would willingly be willing to give up the reckless consuming, reckless spending, and conserve that money instead of spending it on things that we don't need, such as skin bleaching and fake hair and wheels. That money and those thousands that some of our folks are spending could be towards businesses, collective businesses, and to give us the security to be able to survive economically and otherwise. And so, Sister Nanana, I'll pause right there. Have got any questions or comments?
Well, thank you for laying that that outline for us. And it sounds to me like you're putting a lot of emphasis on education, the whole arena of education and the whole arena of cooperative economics. And that if, in fact, we are truly liberated, that we have our own educational institutions for our children. And if we are truly liberated, we have our own economy, our own economic system, which would be a cooperative economic system. So that's kind of what I'm garnering and what I'm picking up from your dialogue around that whole subject of liberation and what does liberation really look like. So thank you for putting that out there. And of course, I agree with you 100%. And Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative does definitely have a roadmap, a plan that we can put to use to free ourselves and to keep ourselves free for generations to come into the future. And I do see, Brother Thurman, that we have a caller that would like to ask a question or make a comment. So let's go ahead and open the line for this caller, 7204. Caller, would you give us your name and where you're calling from?
Well, good evening. How y'all doing? This is Deborah from Richmond, Virginia. Can you hear me?
Yes, can hear you quite well, Sister Deborah, and thank you so much for being with us this evening.
This is a beautiful, beautiful conversation. I mean, really, I wish we had longer time. I agree with everything you said, and I can really understand what's happening to our children and everything. And our ancestors have, for generations, have told us what we must do and where we must go. And my thing is, I still don't get it, and I want the listening audience to, if there's anyone out there that still don't get where we're coming from, please call in, because I would love to understand, after all this time, why you still don't get it. And maybe I'm missing something, you know, because it's kind of frustrating to me why a lot of us still don't get it. Have a good evening. Okay.
Thank you so much, Sister Deborah,
for being with us and giving us your comments and your support. We always enjoy having you on the Dare to Win program. Thank you for calling in.
Well, thank you. Thank you very, very much.
Yes.
All right.
Ashe.
Yeah,
I'd like to
go ahead, Brother
Thurman. Mm-hmm. Sister Deborah, you know, it makes, I know she's still smiling, and I'm reminded of one of our ancestors, one of our top master teachers, Barbara Sizemore, and she spent years saying that black people just don't get it. But everything has an answer, you know, there's an answer, there's a why to everything, and it's all solvable. And in that direction, we have to take a deep look at the fact that the oppressors have spent a few hundred years or more studying us and looking at every aspect that they could, every incremental way that they could mess up our thinking. And they're effective with it. And then the ancient Africans said, the higher side of sanity requires being quiet more. And you can't achieve the insights that you would get of being quiet if you're constantly distracted with zoom, zoom, zoom on this. I'm on the telephone. I'm listening to the music, foul mouth killer cussing television, foul conversations, and things that's not, way, way off the track of what's called, that the Africans still are into, called African deep thought. And so we'd have to quiet our minds and look at this whole picture, everything in all subject areas of people, activity, religion, politics, sex and war, diet, all of those things, and you put it all together, and then it doesn't make it as difficult to understand why we are not achieving, because we've been thrown off track. And so we can call ourselves walking straight, but we're actually walking crooked and don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that adds some to that conversation. It's just put another way, real quickly, our people get sick, and there's tremendous increase in kidney dialysis centers in our communities or that our people go to. But you could say they don't get it, because in delving down into why, it's because of their diet. That's a big reason why. I mean, there's some stress and other things, but the diet is a big reason. And so if you look at the people that have a totally different diet, they're not going to the dialysis centers and the other centers. So there's a why, and it's all solvable. Mm-hmm. We just got to get deep into it. Yes.
Well, thanks. You know, I was just about to ask you, Brother Thurman, staying with the theme of, you know, do we have a choice? Do we have a choice? And you covered the area of education and the area of economics, and now we're getting into healthcare. Let me ask you this, and I think it's especially timely with the pandemic going on that is headline on all of the news media right now. What would liberation look like in terms of healthcare if, in fact, we were truly liberated in mind, body, and spirit? What would liberation look like in terms of our health? What would we be doing? How would we be acting? What would our lives be like if we were truly liberated and acting out liberation in terms of our health care?
Yeah. If you took what the Africans call high culture approach, we would be seeking the highest form of whatever we could do, and we would be practicing things that we would distinguish between what's anti-us and what's for us. Now, what's for us in terms of liberation and health is that we would be into our natural spiritual self. And in that journey, we would be embracing freely, consciously what the Earth has provided for us. And we would be involved in growing of food for the black farmers, but also growing our own food, and we can grow it inside and outside. And in the process of getting truly nutritious food, one of the things that happens in terms of a transformation, it helps to nourish your entire body, including your glands and your third eye that's connected to what's called this pineal gland. It helps to free up and take the decalcify the gland, and now you can see more better, and you have a better spiritual view of what's going on in the world. And all of those things would be elevated as we change our thinking and change our food, and let food, as the ancient Africans talked about, be our medicine. And we would also simultaneously, because we've got to do these things simultaneous, we would have healing centers. It's not centered around medical cutting you and giving you some dope, you know, that because the pharmaceutical medications or whatever form, you know, in their manufacturing centers, and they put it in big barrels that have labels on it that says poison. When you go to the drugstore, when you get it, it's just diluted poison. That's why it doesn't kill you right away necessarily. And we've got to, and it, when we make that transformation towards sincerely with liberation, including our health, the dialysis centers that we're seeing all around the country, they would begin to disappear, because we wouldn't be there as customers anymore. Am I making any sense, Sister Banana?
Yes, yes. What you're outlining and what you're detailing is the answer to the question that I had asked. What does liberation look like for us in terms of healthcare? You know, can we envision fully liberated people of African descent being fully healthy spiritually, physically, and emotionally? And the answer is yes, that can happen if we make the right decisions. And I think it goes back to what you started out talking about initially, is that there is a choice, that we do have choices. We have options, and we have to start making some different choices if, in fact, we are to claim the freedom that's out there for us. So a lifestyle of liberation or oppression, do we have a choice? Yes, we do. And I think you're giving us some good details around what life would look like if we, in fact, are making that choice of being liberated rather than being oppressed. So just one other area, I think we have a few more minutes that we can talk about this. I would like to know your thoughts around the whole subject of war. You know, there have been several wars that our African-descended people have fought and participated in. How do you see that fitting into this whole subject of making a choice, making a decision between being liberated or being oppressed? What should we be thinking? How should we be acting? What would we be doing in terms of war and participating in war if, in fact, we are truly liberated? What's your thought around that, Brother Thurman?
One, the liberated minds of our people would recognize that there's been at least a 400-year war being waged on us, and most of our people, large numbers of our people, including currently, are not even recognizing, maybe in the last month or two, that there's a war being waged on us, but at the same time going and participating in other wars. And so there was a book came out many years ago called Just and Unjust Wars. And most of the wars that people could name, you know, if it was 50 or 60 or 100 years ago, were unjust wars. And my perspective and my vote is that, as I mentioned earlier, that we have energy, power within us. You could call it spiritual power, and that we should focus our energies and our focus on our spiritual energies on what we really, really want, especially when we got clarity. And we should not want to have war, but as a collective, if we put our collective spiritual energy on having peace and harmony, we would have more of it than we have if we don't focus our collective energy in that way. And so we can create a powerful collective energy that could move that energy that will cause the universe to respond, and we would be helping to prevent wars rather than openly saying, oh, it's going to be a war next month. I just know it is, and the people are carrying on this conversation, and what they're doing, they're actually inviting it. They're inviting it.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that makes some sense what I just said.
Well, and it sounds to me like your perspectives around this get back to encouraging us to use those powers, those spiritual powers that we have, in order to bring into being and to bring into fruition those things that we need. And so instead of buying into the concept that war is inevitable, perhaps what we need to be doing is that we need to be facilitating our thinking and our spiritual energies in such a way that we do not encourage war, and that we do not participate in that. And yes, I do agree with you. You're absolutely correct that there are, I judge, so many African descendant people who do not realize that we have been engaged on a battlefield, literally a battlefield, for several hundred years now, struggling, trying to find our way to complete and total freedom and liberation. And my judgment is that we are getting there. I think that there's definitely been some major wake-up calls as of recent. And once again, with the pandemic that we're going through, I'm having to comment on that, for us to take a step back and to look at how we are fitting into this whole pandemic picture. And here in the United States, in North America, on this continent, that we are the majority of the people that are dying. And we need to really step back and seriously saying, whoa, you know, what's going on with that, and what do we need to be doing differently in order to prevent that from happening ever again. So, yeah, we have to start doing some things differently. And so just to start bringing this to a closure, one of the things that I would say, Brother Thurman, and I invite you to make some final comments around this, my very strong judgment is that a major thing that we need to start doing differently is that we need to start participating in a economic process and an economic plan that is beneficial to our people, that is at the core of so much of what would change for us if we were participating in cooperative economics versus capitalism, which is really basically nothing more than another form of the old chattel slavery system. Most employee situations, the employee is in a circumstance or a situation whereby they are selling their labor. They don't see the majority of the profit that comes from the result of their labor. And the owner of the business is like the slave owner. They get the majority of the profit, and we've got to start turning that around. So I would invite those in our listening audience this evening to learn more about cooperative economics, to please take a look at the Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative website, www.usliftingus.com. That's www.usliftingus.com. And please study the information that's there so that you can start to be a full participant in a cooperative economic plan that will truly, truly bring about liberation for you. Thank you so much, Brother Thurman, for being with us this evening and guiding us through this discussion. I truly appreciate it, and thanks to all of those out there in our listening audience as well. Please come back and be with us on Dare to Win next Thursday evening, starting at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll look forward to having you.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war, and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na, 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds.